Today, we're going to continue on the Kingdom Tension series that Koen started like a month ago. And last week, we looked at prayer and action. And this week, we're going to look at our relationship with the world. So how Christians are to be in the world, but not of the world, right? Lots of prepositions coming up. And this is something that many of us struggle with daily because it has so many dimensions. Like, okay, should I go clubbing with my friends? Or how important can my career be to me? Am I a bad Christian if I don't evangelize all the time to all my friends? And why do my classmates look at me weird when I decide to do an essay with the topic, is it unethical to integrate evangelism with development work? Yeah, they did look at me a little bit weird. But why don't you turn your Bibles, or your Bible apps, I guess, nowadays, to John 17, and I can also pray before we start. So, Lord, I thank you that we can be here this morning and just worship you together and learn from your word together. I pray that you would just speak whatever words you want to speak. Let people forget everything that's from me and not from you. And just be with us this morning. And I thank you that you are with us all the time, every day. And we can come to you and we can just learn together from each other. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen. So, this passage in the Gospel of John is part of the long talk Jesus had with disciples, which is also called the Upper Room Discourse, if you're familiar with that term. And Jesus had this conversation with the disciples the night before he was arrested. So up to this point, Jesus has been talking to his disciples, he's been encouraging them, but now he actually starts to pray for them. So it's amazing to see that we have this insight to Jesus's communication with the Father, actually, instead of just the disciples. So I wanted to read the whole chapter, but it's quite long, and there's so much good stuff in there. You could like preach a whole sermon series about this chapter alone. But for the sake of time, I'm just going to summarize some verses. And you can have a little inspiring snippet to study this chapter on your own time when you go home, right? We can focus now on the main part that is relating to today's message or today's tension, if you prefer. So verse 6 says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Verse 9, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And honestly, when I was reading this chapter, I realized that there are so many prepositions, right? And I love that because in Finnish, we don't really have prepositions. We just have 15 noun cases. But it's much less fun. I really like prepositions. And I think here in John 17, all these prepositions tell us so much about our relationship with the world and our relationship with Jesus and Jesus' relationship with the world. But we're not going to get into our relationship with Jesus as much. We're just going to focus on the world or our relationship and Jesus' relationship to the world. So here you can see a beautiful graph. You can see that I'm not really a graphic designer. That represents all these relationships here. So we can see that Jesus is not of the world, but Jesus has the authority over the world. And Jesus glorified God on the earth. You can't really say on the world, but on the earth. But he does not pray for the world. And Jesus was sent by God into the world, but is no longer in the world in a bodily form, to clarify. And Jesus existed and was loved by God before the foundation of the world. So you can see lots of prepositions. And even more on the other side. We as Christians, we are in the world in a bodily form, as you can see. We are hated by the world. We are also sent into the world. And as well, we are not of the world. And here comes an interesting one. We should not yet be taken out of the world, but at the same time, we are given to Jesus out of the world, which is kind of funny. It's like, okay, is this a contradiction here? But the thing is that Jesus says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. So this is not yet a literal meaning because we are still here. And it's not like when you become a believer, Jesus just takes you out of the world like, oh, you disappear and nobody's going to see you ever again. It's not like that, obviously. We're all still here. So it's more of a spiritual sense that we're given to Jesus out of the world. And in a also in a belonging sense. So we are already seated in the heavenly places with Jesus because we have given our lives to him. And that's what it means to be born again, right? To give your life to Jesus. So we belong to him and we belong, yeah, to heaven with him. But Jesus also says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world in a literal sense, because physically, literally, we are still here on earth, as it should be. Because how else could we be the light and the salt of the earth here? So, all that to say, all these prepositions, we can now get into the ones that are the main focus of this morning, which are in the world, but not of the world. And before we get into it, I just want to give you a little bit of structure, because I'm not as structured as Kuhn is. I don't have 3 points or 6 points like last week. But yeah, we looked at John 17 a bit. So that was kind of like the context, the background to the whole in and not of thing. And now we're going to look at what does it mean to be in the world? What does it not mean to be in the world? And what does it mean to be not of the world? And we're going to look at it somewhat practically. And then at the end, we're going to see why it is so powerful that Jesus tells us here that we are being in the world but not of the world. And that's the end part is going to be kind of the core of it all. So, yeah, just remember that comes at the end. Although everything before that is also important. Don't just stop paying attention here. But the end is it's a little bit more abstract, and I hope I can explain it well. Okay, so now, in the world, right? What does it mean? And what is it supposed to look like? I feel like I'm talking super fast, but maybe that's just me. Okay, so we can start with what is it not supposed to look like? Because Jesus calls us to be in the world, and this is not a perfect example, but before I came here to university, I was in a Bible college in England, and I was very much surrounded by Christians. So honestly, I think I spoke to a non-believer maybe once a week or twice a week, and that was probably only because we went street witnessing on Fridays. So it was a great, wonderful, growing season of my life, and I loved it, and it was definitely God-ordained. But I know I shouldn't live the rest of my life in such a Christian bubble because because Jesus calls us to be in the world and not like just shut ourselves out of the world and never talk to any people than believers, any other people than believers. Because living in the world requires us to interact with the people in the world, right? And in many cases, those people think quite differently to you. But also, so what does it not mean to be in the world, or what should it not look like? Have you ever had this feeling, oh Jesus, I can't do this anymore. There is so much evil in the world, or this boy that I really like doesn't like me back. So just take me out of this world already. Yeah. Well, as much as there are biblical examples of this, like Elijah and Job and Jonah, Jesus does say here in John 17:15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So, of course, sometimes we feel like this. We feel like we just want to get out of here. But that's not God's heart for us. Not until his perfect timing. Because he has a plan for you here. He has a plan for each one of us here. And he can't really fulfill it if we just take a hike. So that's what being in the world does not look like. So hiding in your own safe bubble or just running away altogether from life. Instead, what does it look like? We are to be in the world. So we are to love people around us, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, whether they're good people or bad people. Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So don't be a lamp or a light that is put under the basket, because there you can't shine to anybody. Then you're just hiding, you know? But you should be put on a lampstand, right? And also, not only that, but we're also supposed to enjoy the things that God has given us. So you don't need to shut yourself out from all the pleasures that God has created in this world. Because there is so much for us to enjoy. I mean, even only yesterday I was going for a walk in the nature with some of my friends, and it was just so nice to see all the different shades of brown in the nature. It was really nice. And the blue sky, and just be like, wow, like God, you bless us so much. Like with the nature, with sports, with food, of course. If Joanna was here, she would emphasize that one. With friends and with laughter as well. Because, you know, God has such a good humor. I mean, of course he does, because he created all our humors. So obviously he has the best one. And I love it. And he loves to bless us even with material things. No, I'm not talking about prosperity gospel here or anything. I'm talking about things like honey, okay? I love to have my tea with honey. And of course, tea would be just fine without the honey as well. You know, just plain, maybe with sugar, sure. But the honey is just this little extra blessing that I can enjoy. And I think maybe God just created it for me, you know? So I can enjoy my tea with honey. Okay, also maybe for John the Baptist, because, you know, he had a thing with locusts and honey. But, you know, yeah, me and John the Baptist, we got the honey. Anyway, so the point here is that we are to enjoy the things that God gives us in this world, although we're not supposed to value them more than we value him, of course. And we are supposed to shine our light to the people around you through our love. And that's how we should live in the world. Okay, so that's the in the world part. How about the not of the world? So let's first see what it looks like when we fail to be not of the world. Ergo, when we behave as if we were of the world. No, it's a bit complicated to put all these prepositions in the right order. But yeah, there are so many topics nowadays, especially, yeah, in this day and age, on the surface, about which the world says something, but the Bible says something else. And we all struggle with these things because the world is telling us their opinion. Okay, this is what you should do. This is what you should believe. And then the Bible says, this is the truth. And we're like, but what am I supposed to do with this? And it's interesting how there are so many things that Christians should hold on to that the oh-so-tolerant world does not tolerate. It's very interesting. But if we can't stand up to what the Bible says, and if we just go along with believing all that the world tells us, we're going to end up looking exactly like the world. And then the light that is supposed to be in us, it's not going to be light, it's going to be darkness. And we're not going to be able to glorify God to anybody. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So dare to be different. Okay, I'm not saying it's easy. Trust me, I know it's not easy. I mean, when I ride my bike, I wear a helmet here, right? It's not easy to be different. But it is worth it. Also, wearing the helmet is worth it. But Romans 12 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So what does it say here? That the way for us not to be conformed to this world is through renewing our minds. And how do we renew our minds? Well, we can find it here in John 17, verse 17. It says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So we must be sanctified by the truth. And what is the truth? It's God's word. It's the Bible. This is the truth. So here we go. It's the basic, most classic and basic exhortation. Let us read the Bible. Let us read the word. Because it really is the key to knowing God and being in his presence and learning to discern what is the will of God, especially in those things that the world pressures us to believe otherwise, but also in general just to know him and to have an ever closer relationship with him. I read the Bible every morning, and right now I'm going through Jeremiah in my devotional time. And I can assure you, it's not the easiest book to read, at least in most parts. Today I read something that was kind of uplifting. But in general, it's a lot of struggle and a lot of sad stuff happening in there. So I'm not saying that if you read a chapter a day, you keep the devil away. It's not like that. But yeah, sometimes I feel like it's hard to understand anything that I'm reading. But at the same time, when I was preparing for this sermon, I was just so filled with joy when I was reading through John 17. And I was really digging deep into the word. And it was just blowing my mind. Like I already mentioned, this chapter is so full of stuff. Like much more than we're covering today. And it's amazing. And the truth is, the whole Bible is like that. Although sometimes some of the books, they speak to us more clearly than others in certain seasons. Maybe you're going through a tough season and reading Job really speaks to you. Or maybe you're going through a very lovable season and 1 John is like the book that you want to go to, you know? But there is always more to learn. And reading the Word is the place where you can really meet with God and let His Spirit speak His truth in your heart. And it is, I believe, also the only way for us not to get conformed to this world, but to really be not of the world. So that's relating to not of the world. And here comes the most exciting part. I mean, reading the Bible is also the most exciting part. But I want to share now some fundamental truth that I understood as I was reading the Bible about this whole in but not of thing. Yeah. So when I was reading John 17, I realized that all this stuff that I had in my mind to prepare for this sermon, it was a lot of do's and don'ts in a way. Not exactly. I didn't go into any specifics, but it still may come across a little bit like, okay, read your Bible, don't do this, don't look like the world. But I think the core here lies in this that I'm going to share next. Unfortunately, it's a bit more abstract, and I feel like I don't know if I can explain it as well as I would want to, but I hope you can grasp a bit of the depth and the glorious truth of it. See, in this passage, Jesus doesn't say, you should be in the world, but you should not be of the world. Jesus says, you are in the world, and you are not of the world. So it's not a command to strive for this. Okay, I need to try really hard not to be of the world. But it's a statement. It's a fact. It's our position where we stand. And we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Like I said in the beginning, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Listen to what Paul says. He says, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Later on, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So we have this victory already. Our faith has overcome the world, like it says in 1 John. And we can have this assurance that we belong with Jesus already. It's such a hope of glory, to use very biblical language, and nothing can separate us from God because we are not of the world, we are of God. And also, the world has no power over us anymore because we are not of the world. We can stumble and we will stumble and fall, but we will rise again and again and again because we are not of the world. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He's going to see things through. He's going to finish the work that he has started in you. And it's like this assurance is what I want to emphasize here. It's that Jesus himself prayed for us. He himself stated that we are not of the world. So no matter how well or how badly we do with our do's and don'ts, the fact is that we have given our life to Jesus and he will keep it. And he will keep us because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual principalities and powers. So let's remember that when we face the daily struggles, right? Maybe we face challenging people. Maybe we face the worldly mindsets against ours. But our fight is obviously not against people. Our fight is against sin. It is in the spiritual realm. And in that realm, the weapon is the word of God. And the method of fighting is prayer, of course. But the thing is, Jesus already fought the fight. And he already has the victory, right? When he died on the cross for our sins. And our job in the battle is to stand on that ground, on that foundation of Jesus' victory. To stand where we are already placed, in the heavenly places with Christ. And if you're not sure where you stand today, all you need to do is ask Jesus. So you can ask him to fill your heart and to be the Lord and Savior of your life as well. And soon we're going to have some people standing on that side ready to pray for you if you would like to receive prayer. Also, if you just feel like this tension between being in the world but not being of the world is pressing you, or if you feel like it's hard to stand for what you believe, you can also just come and receive prayer. And I hope that knowing and understanding that you are in the world, but you are not of the world, I keep repeating it, I know. I hope that it helps and inspires you to live a life that also illustrates this reality. Okay, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. And we thank you for this reality that we are not of the world, Lord. We are of you, and we can have this assurance and confidence, Father, that you will see through the work that you've started in our hearts, Lord. And it's just so glorious to see little glimpses of what we are going to be when we are fully grown in our faith in you, Lord, in each other, Lord. And I pray that we'll be able to just encourage each other in that and really pray for each other and support each other in this journey, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would be with us today. I pray that you would stir our hearts to come be prayed for if we need prayer, if we struggle with these things, or ask for prayer from our friends as well, Lord. And I pray that you would still keep meeting with us this morning. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your salvation, for how amazing it is that, Lord, we can be your children and we can have this gift of belonging to you, Lord. It's the best thing there is, Lord. There are lots of wonderful blessings that we get to enjoy in this earth. But, Lord, the best thing is that we can enjoy your presence, Lord. And I pray that you would just fill everyone this morning with your presence. Oh, thank you.